You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is reaching out in a very special way to women and minority farmers and growers in Michigan. Just what's behind this focus on the non-traditional growers? And why did the USDA make its Michigan announcement last week in Flint? The administrator of the USDA Farm Service Agency spoke with us right after the announcement. Val Josini, welcome to Stateside and welcome to Michigan.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. It's always nice to push back from my desk in D.C. from time to time and visit our offices and customers all over the country.
Val, how would you describe the state of our nation's farming economy today?
Well, I think these are challenging times. You know, commodity prices have declined. The ag economy has softened somewhat around the nation. Natural disasters have affected various parts of the nation, whether it's wildfires or the floods that we've just seen on the Atlantic seaboard or drought in my home state of California. It's tough to be a farmer these days, and that's why the safety net programs that USDA is providing are really so essential. We completed a fiscal year just last week that saw us make over $6.3 billion in loans available to farmers and ranchers around the country, and that really speaks to a need for greater financial assistance and greater tools and services and programs for those men and women that grow our food, fuel, and fiber.
Looking at historic context, how different or how new are these challenges? Or are they all kind of part of, you know, what it is to be a rancher or a farmer, the long cycle in agriculture?
You know, I think they're part really of a great continuum of challenges that farmers see in their daily operations. I was just visiting a man that grows apples out in the Flushing area, and, you know, he's had some recent challenges with frost, for example, that reduced his yield significantly in the last couple of years. He's bounced back a little bit, but, you know, whether it's weather or whether it's declines in prices or whether it's invasive pests, you know, there are any number of things that impact the work that farmers and ranchers do out in the fields every day. Part of what I'm here to see in Michigan is to visit with new and beginning farmers and ranchers, farmers who are farming in an urban environment, and see what more we can do at the Department of Agriculture to make sure that we serve them as well as we serve the big commodity operations in the Midwest.
Well, so Val, you're in Flint to raise awareness of the kinds of programs you've got designed, especially to help these women and minority farmers and growers. So what kind of programs are we talking about?
You know, we really have a much more robust suite of programs. I think it's a more robust toolbox really now than we did even 4 or 5 years ago. We have microloans that are focused on small-scale operations. You may not need $300,000 or $400,000 when $10,000 would do to help buy a used piece of equipment or hire one or two more employees. We have conservation programs that really focus on things like high tunnel work around the nation. And so if you've got, you know, an urban area that you're farming, maybe two high tunnels can allow you to increase your production another 4 or 5 months into the winter. We have farm storage facility loans that allow you to store your produce on site and wait for better prices or better market opportunities. We've got a lot of different things that I think are more adapted to the needs of urban farmers and farmers that really have been traditionally underserved by USDA programs over the years. What I'm trying to do is bring farmers of color, returning veterans, women farmers, urban farmers, others into the fold that need to be able to take advantage of the safety net programs that have served more traditional operations so well since the days of the New Deal.
What would bringing in a more diverse farming population do for our agriculture industry?
You know, I think one of the great things that it does is simply raises awareness in urban areas like Flint. I was just chatting with some folks who are farming in the Detroit area, and we were talking about diet issues. So, you know, the rampant expansion of things like juvenile diabetes and obesity can really be remedied by more fruits and vegetables in the community. So, you know, these folks are growing kale and other greens, not just for farmers markets, but also for local preschools. And I think that if USDA is there to support men and women who are taking that plunge, and it is a real plunge, we'll all be better served. I was in New York earlier this summer visiting folks in the South Bronx, in Brooklyn, and in Queens. Urban agriculture is really something that's thriving in every great American city all across our country.
And is that what brings you to Flint? Is that why you've chosen Flint for your event and to unveil the awareness program?
That's certainly a big part of it. You know, Senator Stabenow has been a real leader on national agricultural issues, and she recently introduced an urban agriculture bill that I think has a lot of really great ideas in it, and it will be a continued part of the conversation as the Congress transitions into a new year and begins to talk in greater detail about what the next farm bill is going to look like. I think that urban agriculture has got to have a seat at the table to make sure that, you know, we're serving the folks who are farming in Detroit just as well as folks who are farming in other parts of the country.
What's the current congressional mood over the Farm Service Agency's lending programs? Are you getting enough support on the Hill that you're confident that, you know, these supports will continue or even expand?
I think that we are. You know, we periodically run short of money in our accounts from time to time, and the Congress is usually pretty good about providing us additional resources so that we can address the credit needs of farmers and ranchers all across the nation. You know, I oversee an agency that has about 2,200 offices from Maine to California. All of those offices obviously are going to be found in congressional districts for mostly rural members, suburban members as well. And so I think there's a great deal of support for the work that the Farm Service Agency and the Natural Resources Conservation Service and the Rural Development Agency and all of my other sister agencies at USDA do every day, mostly anonymously, sometimes in an unheralded way, but we are really serving the men and women who serve all the rest of us. You know, we once were a nation that was largely rural and largely rural in its focus. Now only about 2% of Americans actually work the land and raise the crops and commodities that we enjoy here in America to create our safe and reliable and relatively inexpensive food supply, but that are exported to hundreds of countries all over the world. So I think the Congress sees us as a very vital part of that safety net that we provide for not just rural Americans and farmers and ranchers, but truly for all Americans.
Val, what is your message to, especially to new or beginning farmers and growers in Michigan?
Reach out to me. I really want to make sure that folks know that they're welcome in our offices, even if they live in urban areas. We've got a good website, usda.gov/newfarmers. That has all kinds of really important information about program opportunities. Chances are good that there's an FSA office not too far from where you're living. We have 50 offices here in the state of Michigan, and as I mentioned, hundreds of others around the nation. It's really important for urban farmers who are interested in learning a little bit more about our programs, about what loan opportunities may exist, or conservation grants, or value-added business grants, know that they can come to USDA, get their questions answered, and hopefully develop a relationship that builds their businesses and serves their communities.
Val Dossini is the administrator of the USDA's Farm Service Agency. Val, thank you so much for speaking with us today on Stateside.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.